did a great job. And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Psalm. And we're going to look at Psalm 67 this morning. Psalm 67. And I just absolutely love this psalm. The Lord showed me some truths out of this psalm that really changed my life several years ago. And I want to share those with you today. And the thought as we look in this psalm, in Psalm 67, we're going to see several things. First of all, we're going to see a prayer. And this is a prayer. And then we're going to see a purpose, a plan. We'll see a problem, and then we're going to see a promise. And so let's read this song. And the Bible says here in verse number 1 of Psalm 67, it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. And God, it's been such a blessing to be at this church this morning. My heart's been so encouraged already with the singing and just the spirit here. God, I ask for your help now. God, I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. God, I pray you'll hide me in the shadow of the cross. I pray you'll magnify thy truth. I pray you'll burn truth in our hearts today. I pray you'll encourage the church this morning and challenge us from your word. And all these things we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the psalmist, he's praying here in verse number 1, and he asks God, he says, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And everything we do in our life, well, it should start with prayer. We should bathe it in prayer and just be in a spirit of prayer. That's the one thing Jesus commands us to do, is to pray without ceasing. And many of the Psalms were written after David, man after God's own heart. And these are prayers to God. But he's praying, and he's asking God for a blessing. The first thing he asks for is mercy. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? That's one thing I ask for God for, is his mercy. And I'm thankful for his mercy, that his mercy is new every morning. And God's been very merciful and very gracious to me in my life. But not only praying for God's mercy, but praying for God's blessing. And not only to pray for God's blessing, but he says, God, will you cause your face to shine upon us? And so this is really what we all ought to pray for. And whatever it is that God has called you to do, and we've got all kinds of different people in the room today and different occupations and different callings God has put on your life. And I love talking to young people and ask them, you know, what they're going to do. And I was talking to Sarah, and she said she was thinking about physical therapy school. I think that's wonderful. And I was talking to Rena, talking about going into nursing. I was talking to Pastor Sonny, he's an accountant, another one's a nurse, and just a lot of different things. I was talking to another guy, he's in music, and Jacob, he's in nursing school now. And it's just a blessing to see the abilities and the gifts God has given so many people and talents. But whatever it is you do, you ought to ask God to bless that in your life. If you are a teacher, you ought to ask God to make you the best teacher. If you are a contractor, ask God to make you the best contractor possible. If you own a business, you ought to ask God to bless your business. And not only to bless your business, but he says, will you cause your face to shine upon us? That really, the psalmist is praying there. He's praying, God, will you literally just rain favor upon my life? Will you rain favor upon what I'm doing? And that's what you all ought to pray for. But that seems kind of self-centered, selfish to pray that. It seems almost like materialistic or like a prosperity gospel, but that's not what the Bible is teaching here. And that's not in the Bible. And if we read that verse by itself, it would sound that way. But when we put it into context of the passage, we're going to see what the psalmist, why is the psalmist praying for that? Why does he ask God to bless his life? And the answer comes in the purpose in verse number 2. And I love when you find in the Bible the word "that." And whenever you see the word "that," a lot of times I'll make a box around that. And that's usually a purpose statement. This is the why. This is the why of what we do. And that's what ought to drive you, is the why. But God, will you bless my life that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving health among all nations. Now, the word saving health is another word for salvation. And that's what it's all about. That's what we ought to pray. God, will you bless my life? Not for me, not so I can just be rich, or I can have a bunch of stuff, or I can be famous, or I can, you know, have all this respect or anything in my life. Will you bless my life so that thy way may be known upon the earth? In what way is that? That's talking about the gospel. Jesus Christ, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. And I God gripped my heart with this truth, that is the most important message everyone in the world needs to hear, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when I was in college, I was studying as a biology major, and I can remember back in those days, I graduated a long time ago from a school called Bob Jones University, And Bob Jones III was the president and chancellor at that time, and man, he would stay in chapel, and he would say, young people, he would say, the most sobering reality in the world today is that, and then usually the student body, about 4,000 or 5,000 strong at the time, would say that the most sobering reality in the world today is that people are dying and going to hell today. And he would always challenge us, you know, and whatever it is that you do, be very good at it. Be the best at it. But he says, you know what you need to do is you need to, wherever God sends you, wherever he puts you, find a good church. Find a Bible-preaching church and be faithful to that church and help that church, help that pastor. Some of you are going to be pastors, but, you know, just get in that and make that the emphasis, the main part of your life, and be a part of a church that's going to have an emphasis on reaching the world with the gospel of Christ, reaching their community with the gospel of Christ. And that should be your prayer. God bless us. And the idea is here that we're blessed to be a blessing. And so the plan is that his saving health be made known among all nations. If we read down through here, you're going to see, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. In my Bible, in this passage, I have the word people circled. And you're going to find the word people 5 times. And then I have the word nations underlined. And you're going to find the word nations 3 times in Psalm 67. Now, I just absolutely love this song. I believe it encapsulates the heart of God. And this is the heart of God. And I want you to see, this is God's heart for the world, is that people will be saved and that his way will be known. And God wants all men to be saved. And you can see this all the way from Genesis to Revelation. This is God's eternal plan all throughout the Bible. If you look back in the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, you have the promise to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And God is talking to Abraham, and he says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and all the families of the earth be blessed. And if you look in Psalm 67, you're going to see the word nations 3 times. You're going to see the word people again 5 times. Now that word people is from the Hebrew word Am, and it's where we get the idea of a people group or a tribe or a clan. And all over the world, there's all kinds of people groups. You're gonna see them in different parts of the world. You're gonna see them all across America. You have nations in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. That word nations is from the Greek word ethne. And we think of nations in geopolitical terms, and you think of it as borders and boundaries And of course, that changes every single day depending on political tensions and wars and things like that. But when God's talking about, when he's talking about nations, he's really talking more ethno-linguistic. God's goal is to be worshiped not just by a multitude of people, but by a diverse representation of nations or people groups. If you go all the way to the end of the book, in Revelations chapter 5, you'll see this truth illustrated. And this is at the end of the story. We, in Revelations 5, I love the passage. We get a picture into the throne room of heaven. We see how this thing's all going to end up. But in Revelations 5, verse number 9, the Bible says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And so there it is again. And so the reason of missions is several, and one is to go, and that's obedience, but that's not the primary reason. And other reason for mission is to see people saved, but that's the purpose, but that's not the main reason for missions. The main reason for missions is to glorify God. And we see that in Revelation chapter 5:9. When we're a part of getting the gospel out to our community, we're a part of getting the gospel out to both Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, that glorifies God. Regardless if people are getting saved or they're not getting saved, when we're giving our life to that, God is glorified. And that's why we were created. God, in Isaiah, he said, "Oh, yeah, I've created them, I have formed them, I have created them for my glory." And God, our main purpose is to glorify God, and to people look at our life, and that forms the right opinion of who God is. And so I love being a part of the church. I love being a part of missions. And missions is not just for a few people who go to the missions field, but it's for all of us. It's for all of us to be a part of. It is the heart of God, and it is the greatest thing happening in the world today. It's the greatest thing that has happened in history, and it's the greatest thing that will be happening for all of eternity. We'll be singing a new song in all the tribes and kindreds and tongues and nations for all of eternity, glorifying the Lamb that was slain, and he is worthy. He is worthy. And so we look at this psalm and we see the prayer, we see the purpose, we see the plan. But now let's look at the problem. And let's look down here in verse number 4. The Bible says, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations up on earth, Selah." So God will have the final say one day. There is coming a day when, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we think about people groups, anthropologists will estimate that there are some 17,433 people groups all over the world. Around 20% of them are significantly unreached with the gospel of Christ. About a half of those people groups we would deem unreached people groups. In the world today, there's about 7.8 billion people, and that's really kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around, but that's a lot of people. And I want you to try to see a big picture here this morning. And sometimes we can see that big picture, it grips our hearts. And it will either motivate us to do more or confirm in our hearts what we're doing. But you know, you think about all the people groups, and there's 3.27 billion that we would consider to be unreached. And there's 5.2 billion people that live in the 1040 window. You think about that. And I don't know if you ever studied about the 1040 window, but if you look at a map, or you look at a globe, and you look at the equator, would be 0 degree latitude, right? Well, north of that, there's a line, it's be 10 degree latitude. A little further north would be 40 degree latitude, but between 10 degrees and 40 degrees on the globe, that's what we call the 1040 window. You know, two-thirds of the world's population live in that 1040 window. You know, in that area, that's where Turkey and Syria is, India, Southeast Asia. And that's just it's mind-boggling. Let's look at it this way. If you could think of it like Let's say the choir is full right now. The choir would represent America. All right, and America's got about 300 million people. All right, that's America. All right, you think about maybe this bench is full, and you've got people in this bench. Maybe they're there's contractors, and there's different people that do different jobs. And then on this bench, you got somebody sitting here, and it's a preacher. All right, well, the idea would be here's America, 300 million people. This is the church, all right? This guy over here, he's the preacher. And so you got the world out here. If we think about, like, you guys over here, this would be Africa, all right? And in Africa, you've got all these countries and nations in Africa. And you've got all these people groups. This fall in October, we're going back to Uganda. We have been in Malawi. We've been in Liberia. We've been in Ghana. We're getting ready to go to Botswana. But you think about in Africa, just in Uganda alone, you got all the different people groups in Africa. In Africa, you've got the Ateso people groups and the Ugandans, the Swahilis, and all these different ones. And then you guys right here would be South America. And South America, you've got Brazil. Brazil's got almost as many people as America does. But you've got Chile, and you've got Peru, and you've got you've got all the other different countries in South America, and Guyana, and you know, just in Peru in itself, you've got, I mean, on the Madre de Dios, where we go in Peru, there are so many different villages. There's the Machigingas and the Yenes, and there's the Maracais, and there's the Quechuans, and all these different people groups that are up and down that river. And, you know, I could spend the rest of my life just going to those places. That's a great way to reach those places with a medical clinic, taking them to different villages. They'll all come, and you can reach them with the gospel. But you've got all these people groups in South America. And then this is the area, again, this breaks my heart, because this would be a lot of the 1040 window. This is Asia. I mean, there's so many. Has anybody ever been to India? There are so many people in India. And in India itself has got some 2,000 different tongues and dialects and people groups. And there's a lot of this area of the world, and this is, again, where two-thirds of the world's population live, and it's gospel prohibitive and gospel restrictive. You just can't call BIMI and say, hey, I'm going to be a missionary and I'm going to Yemen. You just can't do that, all right? But the gospel is going forward, and the church is growing. We estimate one of the fastest growing evangelical churches in the world today is in Iran, and people are getting saved because there's no hope. And some of these false religions, there's no hope in that. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And in these places, there are people that we can find and we can work with. There's underground churches, and the church, they say the church in China is 100 million strong. But you want to pray that the gospel goes forward in this area of the world as well. And there's places that we have been. I mean, I live in East Tennessee, okay? I live in Johnson County, Tennessee. And when I drive, I can drive for 15 minutes, and I can probably pass probably 20 gospel preaching churches. And that's not a bad thing. Okay, that's a good thing. But there's places that we go in the world, and you go all day, and you've been to some of the places, and you don't see any churches. It's just dark, dark place. And it grips my heart. Because this is the problem in verse number 4. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, for he will judge the people righteously. Now, do you know what that means? All right, forget about everything else. All the distractions that we get so caught up in, forget about all that. But there's coming a day where you're going to stand before the God that made you. Every single one of you will stand, and you'll stand by yourself before God Almighty. And you're going to be asked a question that's got one of two answers. Do you have a Savior for your sins? The answer is yes or no. And on that day, there's going to be so many, they're going to stand before the God that made them, and they're going to say, you know what, I followed the five pillars. And they did. I remember we flew into Jordan, and we landed in Amman, and I remember we were getting off the plane, and the line just backs up. I'm like, what's going on? It just stops. And I look up, and everybody that was working, the call to prayer went off. Everybody was just got on their mats, and they were facing towards Mecca. They're doing the best they can. They're trying to do it right. You know, there'll be people will say, you know, I followed all the sacraments. No, that's not. Do you have a Savior for your sin? Have you trusted Christ in Christ alone? That's the answer. That's the answer. That's what people need to hear. That's what people need to hear. And so we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray that God will bless. He will bless our life so that His way may be known upon the earth. That's what needs to grip our heart today. There's some 2,000 people groups that do not have the scripture or a portion in their primary dialect. I remember we were in Peru. I think you may have been with us in Sapaya, and we were in a really remote area. I mean, it was the uttermost. And I met a lady there, and she was working in that village, and she had a PhD in linguistics from Berkeley. And she was working with a people group studying dialects. And she was just about as liberal as they come, and she did not like what we were doing. But she did bring some of the people she was working with to our clinic that we'd try to help them. And she admitted to me, she says, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing as far as preaching the gospel. But she said, I will give you this. In my line of work, the only people that are working to get these dialects into a written language are missionaries. Think about that. Why is that? Because that's the heart of God. God wants to reach people with the truth. He wants people to be reached with the gospel of Christ. And so there's the problem. And a lot of times our world is small because we live right here. And you know, we've got a lot of good churches here. And we really need more, because the problem today is a lot of the churches here are closing. I just had a missionary report from a guy in Dearborn, Michigan, and he's reaching Islamic communities up there, and he said that a lot of the churches up there are shutting down. They're selling their buildings and they're turning them into mosques, and that's a sad thing. We need more good Bible preaching churches here. But then, you know, you think about if you're the preacher here, you know, what are you going to do with your life? Most will go here, and we need that here, but we also just think about the need out here. It's wide open. It is wide open. And there's great need. And then we look at the promise. The promise in verses 6 and 7, it says, then shall the earth yield her increase, and even our own God shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. God's going to bless us that will follow this pattern of faith. Get a burden. Get a global burden. Paul had a global burden. He went from Jerusalem to Illyricum, but then that wasn't enough for him. He set his sights on Spain. I don't know that he ever made it there. We must purpose in our hearts that we want to be a part of God's plan for global evangelism. God promises that He's going to bless that. And a lot of us will pray verse number one. We have no problem with praying verse number one. God, will you bless my life? Will you bless what I'm doing? Will you bless me financially? Will you bless my health? Will you bless my family? We have no problem praying that. But the problem is when we get to verse number two, that thy way may be known upon the earth. And that's what God wants us to do. But when you purpose in your heart that God, I want you to bless me so your way can be known upon the earth, when you get into that realm, that's when the opposition begins. That's when you're getting the battle of spiritual warfare. Whenever you commit your life to advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's going to be attacked. I tell you what, nothing that we do comes easy. Nothing. I mean, it's in the same way as being a pastor. Nothing comes easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. I tell you, them that live with godly will suffer persecution. And there will be a lot of spiritual attack. It's a spiritual battle that we're in, but there's nothing greater than we can do with our life than to be a part. And God promises that He will bless that in our life. And I tell you what, God has blessed our family. He really has. He's blessed. You think about if you're on this bench and you're a part of the church, and this group right here will finance everything, and they'll send these guys and support these guys to go places. And you think about what do you want to do with your life? What are you going to do? And a lot of times we tend to just, I mean, it's easy to get caught up in materialism. But don't do that. I tell you, you can play a big part. You can play a big part in supporting this church, supporting global evangelism. There's a God will bless that. That's as big a role as the person that goes. That's what William Carey used to say. He said, I will go down in the mines if you will hold the ropes. And that's that we need some faithful rope holders that will help support and fund and all these things. But I want to challenge you as we close up. Just pray to be blessed that people will be saved. Jesus saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion. See it all around you. See it right here in Mechanicsburg. See it worldwide. And ask God what He would have you to do. And the first thing is to pray. The second thing is to give. And thirdly, maybe to go. Get serious about evangelism. Hand out some gospel tracts. Share your faith. Tell people what God did for you. That's what Paul did all throughout the epistles. Man, he just shared and said, I was going down to Damascus, and this is what happened to me. And he shared his testimony, and there's power in that. And share your testimony with other people. And it makes an impact. And consider going with us. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can look at this. I look at it from a medical standpoint because that's my background. But if you go into the medical field and be good at it, you're going to have a really good job. Get in a good church, a good Bible preaching church. Be faithful to that church. But consider a ministry like Operation Renewed Hope. And if you went one time a year, just one time a year in your lifetime, you could reach 100,000 people with the gospel of Christ. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. The missionaries, they love when we bring our teams. They'll tell us, they say, hey, when you guys come, we get so many contacts in that 1 week of that medical clinic. It would take us 3 to 5 years to get that amount of contacts. And that's a great way. We've got a great job before us, a great work to do. And I just want to challenge you with that. I pray today that you will pray and ask God that He will bless you, that you can be a blessing here in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and all over the world. And I thank you so much for your kind attention, Pastor.